If you have your Bible, let's go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 12 tonight. Romans chapter number 12. And then I have one other scripture. We'll share several scriptures along the way tonight, but just in our main text, share that with you, keep you from having to make the journey there. But Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1. If you have to say amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Everybody say a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just the least we can do. Praise God. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 7. I'll just read a portion of that to you tonight. It says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Praise God. I'd like to preach to us from this subject, the power of perception. The power of perception. Amen. Lord, I thank you, God, tonight for your word. We know it's forever settled in heaven. I pray, God, that you'd bless every heart, every soul, every mind that's walked into this building tonight. Let somebody find strength and grace. Let somebody find the help of the Holy Ghost tonight. God, reinvigorate our perception tonight. Help us, Lord, God, to see things the way that you see them and the way you desire for us to conceive them in our hearts and minds tonight. And everybody say, in Jesus' name, give the Lord another mighty hand clap of praise tonight. Praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight. I won't preach too long tonight if you'll help me preach. Oh, thank you. I already got some help. Praise God. I figured if I said that, everybody'd holler. Praise the Lord. Won't preach long. Amen. That one fella said, he's looking at the clock, and somebody said, what's that mean? Said, don't mean anything. Praise God. But, you know, it's been said that attitude's everything. Y'all have heard that before. Attitude's everything. But I would like to submit to you tonight that possibly something greater than attitude is perception. Because really and truly, perception is what shapes your attitude. And it's likely that perception actually creates the attitude of an individual. It's kind of like the two guys that was sharing a prison cell. And they're looking out the bars. And one of them could only see the bars. And the other one, when he looked out the bars, he could see the grass and the trees and the flowers. And at night, he could see the stars. You know, that's perception. That's perception. And notice tonight that perspective is not the same as perception. It really isn't. Perspective is different than perception itself. Perspective is simply your point of view. It's your point of view or your opinion. But your perception is how you think about something or someone. It is actually what helps to shape the perspective. But your perception is something that you actually think about. And your perception is greater than the perspective because, again, it is shaped by your perception. And terms that are synonymous with perception are grasp and understanding, comprehension and knowledge. I can remember as a boy in grade school, it's not been all that long ago, really. It seems like it sometimes, but it's really not been that long. Think back on it. I can remember that comprehension was a big thing. The teachers wanted to make sure that you were comprehending what it was that they were trying to get across to you so that you could excel and go forward. And if you didn't, you failed. And you got to repeat the grade until you got the lesson, unless somebody had mercy on you and just passed you on through. All my teachers were mean. No, not really. But they were good teachers for the most part, and they wanted to make sure that we got the lesson. But comprehension was paramount in progressing throughout school. And perception, I have come to find that it is the one thing in my life that I actually can control. There's a lot of things that we wish we could control. We would like to be able to control our tongues better, and we really can't do that too hot. That's Bible, praise God. We'd like to be able to control family members sometimes, and we can't always do that either. Some of them you might want to hit with a hammer every now and then, but you can't do that either, praise God. You'd like to be able to control your bankroll sometimes. Oh, yeah. But you can't always do that, can you? But I really can affect my perception. I can shape that, and I can lay hold on that. You formulate ideas about things and opinions about people and the perspectives that I made reference to, and you formulate that sometimes prematurely because you have the wrong perception of the person. Sometimes we look at circumstances and things that we're going through and things that we're dealing with, and we go to pieces over them because our perception is not what it needs to be concerning what we are going through. Praise God. And we have to work on that, and we have to pray about it. Thank God for prayer. Thank God that we can get a hold of ourselves, that when we don't understand why things are happening the way they're happening, or perhaps they're not happening the way that we want them to happen, we can go to God in prayer and say, Lord, could you help me with this? And I'm so glad tonight that God will help us if we'll ask Him to. Praise God. But we can control our perception. And if we can get our perception right, we can get our tongue right, and we can get our health right, and we can get some other things adjusted, just if we can get perception right. Praise God. Scripture tells us that Jesus tied the ability of one's heart to be able to receive the things of God to his perceptions. You know that? The scripture says that he charged them, saying, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Verse 16, the disciples, they reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. They thought that's what the Lord was talking about when he started saying something about leaven. And the Bible tells us that Jesus knew what was going through their head. How did you like to have had him for a teacher? Amen. He knew what was going through their mind before they ever spoke it. And Jesus spoke to them. He said, why reason ye? Because ye have no bread. Notice his words. Perceive ye not yet, neither understand. He said, it's a perception problem, boys. He said, do you not remember that just a few short hours ago we had a dilemma on our hands of about 4,000 people and a little bit of bread and fish? I was able to take that in my hands and multiply that. Hey, your perception is messed up, disciples, because you're worried about bread and you're right here with the bread maker. I just want to tell somebody here tonight some of the things that you're worried about and troubled about. If you could just get a fresh perspective on your perception tonight, amen, I believe that you could progress forward in some areas in your life that you're struggling with. Oh, praise God.
Amen. I want to be able to perceive correctly.
And too many people, they try to reform theirself. We had a gentleman that we tried to work with for a period of time, tried to get him in the church. I'm telling you, came from just a horrible background, horrible situation. Matter of fact, he was fresh out of prison. And that man, I'm telling you, he had every good thing afforded to him when he got out of prison.
God put him with our church. One of the men in our church hired him on to start working for him. And the man started repenting and started trying to change some things in his life. But he just wouldn't quite commit, just wouldn't quite sell out. And his perception was skewed in thinking that his worldly influences on his life was really what he needed. Oh Lord. And he would not cut ties with certain people. He wouldn't lose the old crowd. And let me say that when a person's coming to the church, you ought to surround them. When new folks are coming to the church, you ought to make sure you include them in everything you do. Surround them and love them, because the other crew's gonna pull on them, and the other folks are gonna try to pull them out. And if it's not in their heart to live for God, they won't make it. We understand that. But you ought to at least give them every opportunity in the world to fall in love with the people of God in the church. Hallelujah. And this man, he had everything afforded to him, really, to make it right and to do right. And he would not cut those ties. He would not withdraw himself from that crowd. And again, it goes back to his perception. If he could have understood that everything he was looking for out there was right there in the church. He come into a service one night drunk. I'm talking about drunk. And demonic powers on him, oppressing him. We cast at least one devil out of him that night, but did not get full deliverance for that man. And he just could not seem to get loose of some things. But if he could have ever just got it through his head that everything I'm looking for is in the house of God, everything I'm searching for. And I really believe that he felt that. He knew that was right, but he just could not turn some things loose. And now, right here tonight, the man is sitting in a jail cell looking at 4 months' worth of jail time. And parole officers told him, said, if you don't get your act together this go round, he said, you're going to go back to prison. Amen. You pray for that man, because maybe somewhere in the process of this, God can get his attention and help him to get his perception right. Perception tonight is very, very important. It's not just a little dry Bible lesson tonight. I'm telling you, there's a lot that hinges on your ability to progress forward in the things of God. It hinges on your perception tonight. Folks have got to have a renewed mind. If you're trying to approach this thing with your carnal thinking and your carnal mind, you're not going to get anywhere. You've got to lay that thing aside. That's why you've got to be regenerated by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the reason why you've got to get full of the Holy Ghost. You can't reform yourself. Anybody here ever heard of Albert Einstein? He was a funny looking cat. I mean, y'all ever seen a picture of him? What about that dude? That fro. Amen. Man, it looked like he stuck his finger in a light socket. They say that Einstein was such a thinker that he would forget to put his shoes on some mornings. Yeah. And they said something to him about his hair. And he said, fixing your hair is a waste of time. He said, you know, I'm too busy trying to figure out what E equals. I ain't figured that one out yet. Praise God. But Albert Einstein made a statement, and I thought that it was a very good statement. He said, we cannot solve problems with the same thinking we used when we created them. There's a whole lot of folks that, it's amazing to me, they can give you all sorts of advice and all sorts of spiritual counsel, and you're sitting there trying to help pull them out of the muck and the mire, and they want to tell you how spiritual they are. Amen. I'm going to tell you tonight, you need to learn how to listen to the right voices in your life. You need to learn how to tune the wrong voices out. And you need to tune your ear into the pulpit and say, Lord, whatever it takes, I want to hear what the man of God's got to say. Lord, I want my perception to be tuned up tonight because I want to go forward in the things of God. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. Help us, Jesus. We've got to have a renewed mind. And that only happens through the new birth experience tonight. And you can watch people that come from prison backgrounds and from street backgrounds, and you fill in the blanks. And they come in, they get in the church, they get full of the Holy Ghost, they get baptized in Jesus' name. And there's immediately something that happens in their life. It may not be just 100%, everything lines up, but there's a change in them immediately. There's just something about getting around the people of God, and there's something about the influence of the power of the Holy Ghost that it lifts that person up above what they used to be. They don't think like they used to think anymore. They don't view things the way they used to view things anymore. Their perception is now bathed in the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And their choices begin to be influenced by the direction of God's Spirit. And a person tonight can absolutely keep themselves bound in circumstances that are beyond them tonight, strictly because of the perception that they have of themselves tonight. You know, some people perceive themselves as a victim all the time. Oh, praise the Lord. And every decision that they make is strained through that perception of their self. And so they never can rise above that because in their mind they're always the victim. And that's why some folks has always got their feelings on their sleeves, because they're so easily offended about everything. And it's because their perception is that everybody's out to get them and everybody's talking about me and ain't nobody even thinking about you. Woo, Jesus. And you got to get your perception right. My pastor's daddy, he said, "I just believe everybody loves me." I got thinking about that. I was like, well, boy, that was delusional. But you know what? I got to thinking about it a little harder. And, you know, that's really a good way to live. Because instead of going around thinking, well, everybody's against me and nobody loves me and nobody... It's perception tonight. Everybody say perception. You go around and you can feel like a victim and you can feel like you're off the bottom of the shoe all the time, or you can rise up. I'm not talking about thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to, but you are a child of God. If you got the Holy Ghost, been baptized in Jesus' name, you are a child of God tonight. Don't you walk in here with the mully grubs. Know who you are in God. Change your perception tonight. As long as you continue to perceive things in a negative light, as long as you feel like things will always be the way they are and never going to change, they probably won't. But when you change gears, when you shift gears, that's when you're going to rise above all of that. Oh, praise God. I know it's practical tonight. But, you know, it's Wednesday night, so we be practical. Praise God. I believe tonight that you could get a hold of this, and tomorrow when you walk on that job that you hate, you won't hate it so much anymore. When the next time you encounter that hard head somewhere out there that you're working with and dealing with, that you'd like to pop them in the nose, if you change your perception a little bit and realize that's a soul that needs God. That needs God. They need what I've got. It'll impact you to the point where they can be impacted. Praise God. Praise God. You know, your perception also influences the way you think about the things of God. You know that? How do you perceive the love of God? How do you perceive God in general tonight? Some folks have got it in their head that God is out to get them. He wants everybody. He really is out to get folks, but not in the negative type of thinking. God loves everybody. He loved us enough. He didn't send somebody else to do it. He robed himself in flesh and allowed some old wicked folks to nail him to a cross. He laid his life down for us. That's love, folks. Greater love hath no man than that kind of love, that they would lay down their life for us. And while we were yet sinners, he died for us. You know, those folks, they come in the church and they feel like, they get to thinking, well, all these folks are so good and so right, and they don't know the story. They don't know the mess that you are. They don't know the hang-ups you've got. They just look at the pretty picture of what you currently are, and they don't realize that you were just like them one time. And they come in and their life's a mess, and maybe they don't smell good, and maybe they ain't dressed right, and they come in and they don't have it all together, and their perception of God is that, you know, I'm just not good enough for God. And they've got the cat turned around the wrong way. Does that make sense to you, or do I need to break that down? Somebody said you rub a cat the wrong way. He don't like that. You got to turn him around. You know, you got to turn your thinking around. And then folks come in and they get to feeling like, well, God don't love me enough. And all of these people are so good and perfect, and I'm so dirty and unclean. And yes, they're sinners. And yes, they're unrighteous. And yes, they are unclean. But they forget that you don't get good to get God. You get God to get good. Amen. They got to change their perception. And what it is, they got to have some people in the house that will put their arm around them and say, hey, brother, hey, sister, God loves you. This church loves you. And we can help you make it a mighty long way if you'll just keep coming. Praise God. Hereby perceive we the love of God, John said, because he laid down his life for us. And he says, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. How do you perceive the love of God for you tonight? When you kneel down to pray, you know, I really believe that some people, the reason they don't pray is that their perception of prayer is wrong. Their perception of who they're talking to is wrong. And they feel like, you know, they feel like they've got to pray such a perfect prayer to get God's attention. And God don't require that. I'm telling you, the more you interact with just people that are raw coming in out of the world, they don't know up from down. They don't know up from down. And you get around those people and you get to talking to them. And I tell them, I say, just talk to the Lord like you would your friend. I used to say, talk to him like you would your daddy or your mama. And sometimes they don't got a daddy or a mama, or they come from a horrible family background. So I just said, talk to the Lord like you would your best friend. They may talk to him in conversational tones, but you know what? That's better than nothing. Amen. And you know what? God honors that. And if folks would just realize that prayer is not hard, it's not difficult, you'd fall in love with prayer. You'd fall in love with wanting to come to the house of God. You'd fall in love with wanting to talk to the Lord and get a hold of the presence of God when you understand in your perception that it's not as hard as I'm making it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Your perception. It affects everything tonight. It affects everything. Let me move on here tonight. Don't allow your perception to be skewed by your present circumstances. I feel to tell somebody that here tonight. There are some folks in this room tonight that you are facing things that are so beyond you, and you feel like there's no way you can get over it. You judge it and deem it as such a difficult, God help me tonight. You deem it as such a setback. You deem it as such a bad situation. You want to sum it up in your family and say, it's a bad thing that I'm dealing with in my family. I've got so much baggage and so much mess. And your perception is wrong. Anybody remember Naomi in the Bible? You know, she and her family, it was really the husband that kind of led the pack there. But they said, we're going to move to Moab. There's some problems going on in the land, and we're going to move down to Moab. And they loaded up the whole family. And when they got down to Moab, which was not a great place, when they got down to Moab, the dad dies and the boys die. And I want you to notice, when Naomi comes back home, I want you to notice what she said. Her perception, I want you to pay attention to that. When she comes back home, The Bible tells us that people greeted her and they were glad to see her back. They were happy to see her home. And she said, "Don't call me Naomi, but call me Mara. I'm not full. I'm bitter." And notice how she worded things. She said, "When I left here, I was full. And now I've come back and I'm empty." Her perception should have been switched around. She should have understood, and so should her husband have understood, that they were really blessed where they were at. Amen. There's some of us here tonight that we're thinking in our mind, if I leave and go somewhere else, that it's going to be better for me there. What you really need to do is just change your perception and understand that changing geographical locations is not going to fix you. What's going to fix you is to fix your perception and realize I'm blessed right where I'm at tonight. Well, somebody needs to get a hold of that right there. You need to get a hold of that right there. Changing churches ain't your answer. Changing your perception is your answer. Everybody clap your hands to the Lord. Come on, lift up a praise to God and ask the Lord to help you with your perception. Woo! My Lord, have mercy. Amen. Reality of the matter tonight is, she was more blessed when she had her family and her children around her. And they, some folks, they're cursing their blessings. They're looking at the stuff they have to deal with in their home life and the things they have to deal with in their family. And they're cussing it under their breath, so to speak. In reality, if you took all of that away from them, they'd be the most miserable person on earth. Oh, God, help us, Lord, with our perception, that we could learn how to count our blessings, even when it's just the mundane and we're just going through the motions and the routine. God, help us to have the right perception. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. God needs to baptize some of our perception in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think about a man by the name of John. We call him John the Revelator. We sang a song called John the Revelator. Been a long time since I heard that. John, the Bible tells us he's boiled in oil. Anybody ever heard of frying a man before? They fried him. They deep fried him. And John was then taken and thrown out on the Isle of Patmos. They threw that burned body out onto sand. Can you imagine? All the blisters and they threw you in dirt, sand, and that's all rubbing into your flesh. Anyway, the book tells us in the book of Revelation that John gets in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Mm. And sometimes folks are so focused on their hurts and their problems, and God help us tonight. They're focused on who hurt them and how they hurt them, and they're focused on the injuries that have been put into their life. And in reality, if they could just learn to get in the Holy Ghost, if they could just learn how to lock into the presence of God. Amen. John exemplified to us, if we can just learn how to get in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, God can work miracles in our life. God can heal our hurts. The historians say John lived a long time after all that. I think God healed him. Sounds to me like God healed him. That man, the Bible tells us that he said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." He wasn't thinking about the pain no more. He wasn't thinking about the sand he was rolled around anymore. He heard something that caught his attention.
He got caught up in the Spirit. Oh, Lord, I wonder what would happen here tonight if some of us could just forget about our trouble for just a couple minutes and focus on God and get in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you what would happen tonight. God could heal you. God could lift you tonight. You could hear something you never heard before if you just change your perception a little bit. He heard the voice of the Lord saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. He said, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches that are in Asia, Ephesus, Smyrna, you know, the rest. And then I want you to notice this tonight. This jumped out to me. He said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Verse 13 says, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, the Lord told him, and the seven golden candlesticks, he said, the seven stars are the seven angels of the churches or the pastors. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. But I want you to notice, before Jesus ever addressed any of the problems in those churches, he said, I want you to notice something, John. I want you to remember that the ministry is in my hand, and I want you to understand that I'm in the midst of these churches. That even though there's messes and circumstances in them, I don't want you to get so caught up in that that you forget to recognize that I'm still in the midst of my church. I'm telling you here tonight, you may focus on all the negative in this church. You may find a whole lot to complain about, but you better remember in your perception that God is still in the midst of broken era, that God still got the pastor of this church in his hands. If you could just get a fresh perspective and a fresh perception of what God is doing right here, it changed everything for some of you tonight. My Lord, you'd fall in love with your church all over again. Woo! You'd fall in love with the people of God all over again. If you just get a fresh perspective, a fresh perception of what God's doing in the midst of this church. Hallelujah. Perception, perception, perception. Lift your hands to the Lord tonight. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. You got to rise above what kind of thinking you've had of late. You got to rise above opinions and attitudes that you've developed of late that's pulling you down, that's souring your countenance, that's souring your thought life, that's poisoning your relationships, that's even hindering your marriage. You got to change your perspective and your perception tonight. Can I go just a little bit farther tonight? I'm almost finished. Job. Anybody here remember the story about Job? Boy, it's pitiful when you read all that man went through. And that's a book that a lot of folks will go reaching for when they're going through hard trials, because ain't hardly nobody I ever met been through more than Job went through. And it always helps you to remember that things could be worse. Even when the bottom falls out, you just read book of Job a little bit. You know, Job got so down and so depressed about his plight. And really, you know, I can't fault the guy. He was going through it. But I want you to notice his perception got a little off. He said, I looked on my left hand and I looked on my right. He said, and I couldn't find the Lord. He said, I couldn't perceive him, is what he said. But does that mean that God was nowhere to be found? No, ma'am. No, sir.
lot of folks will read that and say, you can get in such a bad way that God just withdraws himself from you and you're going to be by yourself. Hey, don't you buy that pack of lies. Don't you buy that pack of lies. Don't you believe that for one minute. Jesus said, I ain't going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Hey, the devil will lie to you and tell you God ain't nowhere to be found in the midst of your struggles, in the midst of your trials. But you got to change that perception. You got to get a hold of yourself and realize I may feel all by myself right now, but God knows where I'm at. God knows what I'm going through, and God's going to bring me out. Oh, somebody needs to get a hold of that tonight. You need to throw out the thinking that told you that God's nowhere to be found. I looked to my left, couldn't find. Hey, Brother Job, God didn't leave you. He was there all the time. My Lord.
You just got to change your perception, Job. You got to change your perception. Somewhere he got it. Brother Dunn, somewhere he got it. Somewhere he got a hold of it. Because when he come out on the other side of it, he still had his wife. Yep. He still had his wife. That heifer that came to him and said, curse God and die. He kept his wife. He kept his marriage. Hey, he got a hold of something, buddy. Because there's a lot of folks throwing marriages away over a whole lot less than what Job went through. My Lord. And he held on to his marriage. He kept things intact. And when it was all said and done, God said, you know what? I was there all the time. I was with you through it all. I was thumping the devil on the head the whole time. I was taking care of old Lucy all the time. I was there the whole time, Brother Job. And God said, look here. I'm going to bless you so great that it's gonna take all the sting out of what you've been through. Dear God in heaven. His perception was molded and shaped through that trial. God, if I'm helping somebody tonight, I wish you'd get a hold of this. Amen. It shaped his perception. And when he come out on the other side, I see a man that's not defeated, not cast down, but he's raised up in his spirit. And he refused to let a little bit of trial and trouble define the rest of his life. He shaped his perception to hold fast to the things of God in spite of everything he went through.
And buddy, that ain't easy. It is not easy. We can read about it and we can preach about it, but until you are in the thick of it and you're living it, it takes on a whole new meaning. And that's who I'm preaching to tonight, because there's some of you dear hearts here tonight are living it. And you're going through it. And there's unanswered questions. And you don't know why. And you don't have an answer. And you don't know when. And you haven't got it all pieced together. And it looks like a scattered jigsaw puzzle. And it's not making sense to you. But I'm here tonight to tell you, don't let your perception be skewed by what you are facing. Get focused on who tonight. Don't get focused on what and when. Get focused on who. Get focused on the Lord. Get focused in prayer. Get focused in worship and let God shape your perception to carry you to the next level.
Sometimes we've got to pull down wrong thinking. The Apostle Peter said it this way, and I'm closing. The Apostle Peter said this way. He said, you got to gird up the loins of your only men in the biblical times girded up their loins. You knew that, didn't you? Only men did that. Women didn't do that. Because it differentiated between male and female. And it made the man's robe like a pair of breeches, basically. Women didn't wear breeches. Hallelujah. And Peter said, you got to gird up the loins of your mind to where you can run properly and you can get where you need to go. Amen. If you really want to navigate the sea of life tonight, you're going to have to gird up your thinking. You're going to have to lay a hold upon your perception.
dear God, dear God, dear God, help somebody tonight. You got to lay a hold on that thinking in your heart and in your mind tonight that tells you you can't make it, that tells you your marriage is gone. It's on the rocks. There's no need to even try or pray about it. You got to lay a hold on that perception and say, you know what? I believe God can help me. I believe God can move for me. I believe God can turn some things around. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope for the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You got to pull down the wrong perception. And in pulling that down, you lift up the right perception. Stand with me tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The perception that says, I can never live for God the way those people live for God. I can never be like Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so in the church. I just can't do that. You got to pull that thinking down. You got to pull that thinking down. And you got to realize there was a time when Sister So-and-so was just like you. And Brother So-and-so was just like you. And somewhere down the road, if the Lord tarries, somebody's going to have to take their place. Somebody's going to have to step up and say, you know what? We can't depend on the elders to carry everything because one day they're going to pass off the same. We got to get a hold of it. We got to get a hold of it. The Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself above the knowledge of God, against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Tonight in this sanctuary, you came in tired. You've worked all day. You're weary. You're thinking about what you got to deal with tomorrow. You're thinking about what you got to face when you get back home. Thinking about situations here and yonder. And I'm telling you tonight, God sent you a word by here. If you'll just get your perception, if you'll just get a hold of your perception, that one area of your life that you've got some say-so in, if you can just get a hold of it tonight, it'll revolutionize your family life. It'll revolutionize your view of the church and what's happening here and what God's doing. It'll turn so many things around if you'll just get the thinking right. People that you crossed up with, you can get uncrossed with them just in changing your perception of that person, changing the way you think about them. It's no wonder the Lord said, pray for them that curse you. You know, it wasn't so much that the prayer is for the one that's been cursing you, the prayer is for you. To get your attitude right. Because the Lord knows you can't carry that stuff in your spirit or it'll poison and destroy you. There's some people here tonight. You need to let go of some things. And some hurts and some wounds in your spirit. You need to open up to God. And let God give you grace and strength tonight. God's not against you, sir. God's for you. Hey, ma'am, God hadn't left you in the dirt. God knows exactly where you're at tonight. You just need to change your perception tonight. I don't mean to be condescending tonight. Please, y'all know me better than that. But you just need to rise up in your spirit and say, God, I just got some things in my head I need to empty out tonight. I got some thinking in my spirit that's just got me turned around the wrong way. I'm not thinking clearly, Lord. I need you to help me, God. I need you to help me. I don't mean to overstep myself here tonight. But it's so troubling to me as a preacher, now a pastor. But it troubles me when I see people come into the house of God and they're so tangled up in their mind they can't even worship. They can't even worship God because they're thinking about this and thinking about that and their perception of. And God's here tonight wanting to help you and lift you up and pick you up. And that when you walk out of this house tonight, you would understand that God really is on my side and God's really going to help me. And if you'll just get a hold of it tonight, there's some of y'all that already been down here. There's some of y'all that already been down here because God sent you an answer tonight. Some of the stuff you've been praying under your breath. God, could you just speak to me? God, could you just talk to me? Hey, God's been talking to you for 30 minutes tonight. Letting you know if you'll just change your perception, I'll bring you out. If you'll change your thinking toward this circumstance, I'll make it go away. If you can just turn it around tonight in your head, it'll get better. Come on, you ought to come to this altar. You ought to come to this front. Amen. You don't have to worry about qualifying yourself to nobody. You ain't got to worry about what somebody else thinks. Hey, we all need the help of God. Nobody going to look down their nose at you. We need God to help us. We need God to baptize our thinking. We need God to help us to pull down the wrong thinking in our life, that the right thinking could be elevated, that we could be more effective for the work of God and what the Lord's called us to do. Come on, would you pray? Would you pray? Would you pray? Would you pray? Come on, sister with a sister, brother with a brother. Come on, let's reach out to the Lord. God, lift my brother. God, lift my sister tonight. God, help them tonight to hear and know what it is they need to do. Oh, God. Oh, God. Renew my mind tonight, Lord. Renew my spirit tonight, Lord. Paul wrote that to the church. They already had the Holy Ghost. He said, be renewed in your mind. You got to get renewed in your spirit. Come on, you can't be stagnated. You can't just put it in neutral and coast. You got to say, Lord, renew my mind. Renew my spirit. That's it. Come on, that's it tonight. God's going to help you with it. God's going to turn it for you. God's going to fix it for you. Come on, if you can get them hands up and you can get a praise on your lips, if you can get in the Holy Ghost tonight, I'm telling you, when you walk on the job tomorrow, it's going to feel like a new job. When you walk in your house tonight, it's going to feel like a new house if you just change your thinking.